Well, I brought up my teaching pulpit this morning. I brought this up and Pastor Joe said, oh, you're getting serious this morning. So there you go. We're going to get serious this morning. If you got your Bibles, open with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 1, sixth book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, and I'm going to take us back to where we started in the beginning of 2019. I began 2019 with the story of Mary and Martha and this focus on this reality that there's one thing in life that matters more than anything else. And that one thing is your relationship with Jesus. If there could be one thing that you would focus on above everything else in your life, it would be your relationship with Jesus. That is the one thing that matters above all. And so I've been walking through some spiritual disciplines. What are spiritual disciplines? They are things that we do, that we force ourselves, make a plan and discipline ourselves to do in order to grow in our relationship with Jesus. So I've already walked through a few: reading the Bible, praying, and this morning we're going to talk about the spiritual discipline of meditation. And at first, I was kind of tempted to skip this. I thought, meditation is such a simple concept. You know, is this really something that we need to spend a whole Sunday on? Well, you know, maybe I'll skip over that. But the more that I thought about meditation, the more that I meditated on meditation. See what I did there? That's a groaner. The more that I thought that this is the exact kind of thing that we need to be talking about in the church, because meditation is not something that you just hear about in the church. Our world, our society is talking about meditation and the art of meditation. It is something that is actually talked about more outside the church today than inside the church, is meditation. And there's two radically different kinds of meditation. And I want to do some teaching this morning so that we know that there are differences, so that we know the good kind of meditation, we know the godly kind of meditation, and we need to know. Did I say meditation or medication? Okay. The proper medication is godly meditation. That's what we'll say. We'll say that. Okay. You hear meditation talked about in our culture today, and here's the buzzword: mindfulness. Mindfulness and mindfulness training. And there's some good stuff in there. I'm not saying you got to throw the whole thing out, but I'm just saying that to bring up the fact that our world is talking about meditation. And we as the church need to talk about and understand what is good meditation and what is dangerous meditation. And so here we are in Joshua, and I'm going to read the first 8 verses. If you don't have your Bibles, this will be up on the screen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, for just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. God speaks to Joshua and he says, this book of the law, you shall not let it depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. And once you meditate on the word of God day and night, here's the result. You will be prosperous and you will have good success. Now, this touches a desire in every human heart. If you could look for something that every human being on planet Earth wants, here it is: prosperity and good success. And don't look at me with those holy eyes as if you don't want those things. Everybody wants prosperity. Everybody wants to have not only enough for them and their family, but enough to have more and enjoy their life. And everybody wants success. Everybody wants a successful marriage, successful business. And that's a good thing. We should want those things. And this is what God tells Joshua. If you meditate on my word day and night, here's what's going to happen. You're not going to turn to the right or to the left. You're going to do everything that is commanded you in the word. And then you will find yourself prosperous. And then you will have good success. And I want to lay that as a foundation this morning because I believe that we in the church have seriously underestimated the power of meditation. And the world is talking about meditation so much that the world is almost becoming the experts on something that is really from God. This is a worldly message that is also preached that, hey, through meditation, you can prosper. And through meditation, you can have good success. But the way that they utilize meditation and the way that is being promoted in our world is not the godly kind of meditation. You want to know the secret to being prosperous and having good success? It's meditation. The question is meditation of what? The idea that meditation is the key to prosperity is not uniquely Christian, but there's a significant difference between meditating on the Word of God and meditating on anything else. So let's define meditation. What is meditation? Meditation means to think deeply and to focus your attention, to think specifically about something, and to allow what you're thinking about to become captive in your mind. It comes from the Latin word meditat, which means to contemplate, and it comes from the Latin verb meditare, which means to measure. When you are meditating on something, you're measuring it. You are assessing, you are considering the accuracy and the legitimacy and the implications of something. So you know the saying, measure once, cut twice? Well, that's just how I do things. Okay. Don't call me to hang a shelf at your house. It will fall on your children, okay? So what's the saying? Measure twice, cut once. Okay, that is meditation. You should be thinking about something for long enough that before you live based on before you say what you thought about saying, you've measured it twice. You understand what I'm saying? You think about something for long enough that wisdom comes in and that you have a filter. That's what meditation is. You're focusing on something for long enough that you have wisdom before you act upon what you're thinking about. David says this in Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. David's cry was this: I want the meditations of my heart to be pleasing to God. Now, the reason that David would think that was because he lived with this awareness. God knows what I am thinking. God knows what I'm thinking. And if God knows what I'm thinking, I want my thoughts to be pleasing to him. So let me put that in another way. Imagine that someone invented a mind-reading machine, and your spouse got their hands on the first copy. When they used that mind-reading machine, what would be the cry of your heart in that moment? May the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Come on, everybody know what I'm talking about? So that when they serve dinner, the very first thing you're thinking is not, this again? He always overcooks the meat, right? You don't want your thoughts just being hung out there for everyone to hear. But David lived with an awareness that God knows my thoughts, and I want my thoughts, the things that I meditate on, I want it to be pleasing to God. So meditation is a good thing. It's what you're thinking about. The question is this: what are your meditations? What are the things that you are taking your time to think about? What are the things that you allow yourself to focus on? Let me put it another way. What are the suggested videos that pop up on your YouTube stream? What are the recommended items that pop up on your Amazon account? Come on, you get to know yourself when you start. If you use technology, some of you are looking at me like, what's Amazon? When you use these technologies, they're learning who you are, and they're projecting back to you suggestions based on the things that you spend your time looking at and shopping at online, right? What are the meditations of your heart? You'll find that out If you examine some of these things, what are the suggested things that pop up on your Netflix stream? Those are the things that you spend your time watching and thinking about and allowing to come into you. Henry Ford made this statement, whether you think you can or you can't, either way, you're right. Now, what does that mean? That means that your thoughts have tremendous power. And who you are today is based upon the thoughts that you thought yesterday. So let me ask you this question. What are your meditations? What are the things, not just the passing comments here and there, the passing thoughts here and there, what are the things that you meditate on? What are the things that you allow your mind to go to and to dwell on and to think about on a consistent, regular basis? Those are your meditations. And my heart and my hope for us this morning is that they would be pleasing in the sight of the Lord. I want to ask you another question. Are those meditations things that are going to prosper you and give you good success? Or are they going to get you into trouble? Now I want to do some teaching this morning and talk about the difference between biblical meditation and what I'm going to call worldly meditation. You could more specifically call it Eastern meditation, because what much of the world and even New Age teaching in our society today is talking about, it stems back to Eastern meditation. So it's worldly in the sense that it's everywhere, but it's Eastern in the sense that this is where it comes from. These are its roots. So I'm going to give you six different differences between biblical meditation and Eastern meditation. Number one is this: Eastern or worldly meditation empties the mind. This is so incredibly important to know. Eastern, worldly, New Age, ungodly meditation focuses on emptying your mind, thinking about nothing. Godly meditation is about filling your mind with the truth. Filling your mind. I want God's thoughts to be my thoughts. I want these truths to be what's on my heart and mind. Biblical meditation is about filling your mind with the Word of God. Worldly meditation is about emptying your mind, thinking of nothing. It's about focusing on nothingness, perhaps just your breathing or the silence of your thoughts, of your thoughtless mind. It's actually contrary to what meditation is. Meditation is about focusing in on something specifically, whereas Eastern or world religion is about focusing on nothing in particular. The Hebrew word for meditation actually means to moan, utter, speak, ponder, and consider. It is innate within the concept of meditation that you are focusing on something, not nothing. And let me just say this, if you are allowing yourself to empty your mind of all thoughts, that is a dangerous place to be. It is a dangerous thing to do. Now, I'm not saying that it is a dangerous thing for you to sit down on the couch at the end of a long day and just go, and relax and kind of think about a whole lot of nothing for a moment or two or three. What is dangerous is the practice of intentionally, for prolonged periods of time, emptying your mind. Jesus spoke about demonic spirits and how if they leave a man or woman and they later come back, if there's nothing in its place, you know what's going to happen? They're going to move in and they're going to bring some roommates with them. Empty places are places of invitation for the enemy. If you're taking notes, write that down. Empty places are places of invitation for the enemy. The enemy is looking for empty places in your soul. Empty place. Where you feel emptiness in your marriage, that's where Satan's going to attack. Where you feel emptiness in terms of your purpose, you feel like you just don't have a purpose in life, that's where Satan's going to attack. Empty places are places of invitation for the enemy. And so please hear me. If you have been sold and told the lie that you can relieve stress by emptying your mind, I beg you to not do it. Biblical meditation is about filling your mind with the truth of God's word. Biblical meditation looks like this. God loves me. God has a plan for my life. God has grace for me today. That's biblical meditation. You're filling your mind with God's truth. You're focusing your thoughts on God's thoughts. Meditating on that will lift you up. It will help you. And emptying your mind will not help you at all. Number two, Eastern or worldly meditation focuses on self. Now, I'm not saying that you should ignore yourself. It's a healthy thing to notice and observe your emotions and what's going on in your heart and in your mind. It's healthy to do that to an extent. But Eastern meditation focuses completely on you. And at its core, it's trying to make you draw all of your attention to what you're thinking and what you're feeling. It focuses on you. You. You know what happens when you focus on you for too long? You get depressed and stressed. And oh my goodness, how am I going to get through today, let alone tomorrow and next week? If you want a sure recipe for stress, spend time thinking about yourself. This is a bad idea. And Eastern meditation and worldly secular meditation is just focus on you. Focus on your breathing. Focus on your feelings. Focus on your thoughts. Please do not do such a thing. We do not need to focus more on ourselves. We need to focus more on Jesus. I'm not saying there aren't times you've got to be reflective. We've got to think. We've got to know our emotions. That's good. Those are good things to do. But the more that you focus on yourself than Jesus, the bigger your problems get. The more you focus on Jesus, the bigger he gets. We don't need to focus on ourselves. We need to focus more on Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." So you wonder why we don't have a lot of peace in ourselves. It's because our mind is stayed on me. I think about me, me. What about me? Some of you got that, right? That's Joyce Meyer. What about me? What about me? Number three, Eastern or worldly meditation seeks to relieve stress. Now, you might think, well, that's a good thing, right? Because stress is bad. We should seek to relieve stress. And the reality is, in North America, we are experiencing a bit of a stress epidemic. There's stress everywhere. And it's not just, the leaders of big organizations and government. It's not just people with big responsibility. It's our students in high school, elementary school. In elementary school, they are dealing with stress and anxiety problems. The kids can't write tests. We are having a stress epidemic in North America. So you think, well, what's so bad about relieving stress? Shouldn't we use meditation to relieve stress or anything else to relieve stress? Here's the thing. Stress isn't the problem. Stress is a symptom of a deeper problem. Stress is an indicator something's wrong. Stress is an indicator that maybe you have worry, anxiety. Maybe you have pride issues. Maybe you have perfectionism issues. See, for a perfectionist, what does it take to get a perfectionist stressed? You know what it takes? Watch this. I'll fix it for you so you can focus on the rest of my sermon. Stress, listen to me, stress is a gift from God. Some of you are going to take a while to swallow this. Stress is a gift from God. You know why God gave you stress? Warning, 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 warning. It's a warning light. Something's wrong. Stress isn't the issue. We want to focus on relieving stress. And you go to every bookstore and you go to every library and you go to every workshop. And what do they want to do? They want to teach you how to get rid of stress. Don't get rid of stress. Figure out what the problem is and get rid of that. Stress is a gift from God. It's an indicator that you need to figure out what's going on the inside of you. John 14:27, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you," which means there's a way that Jesus gives you peace, and there's a way that the world gives you peace, and the way that the world gives you peace, it won't last. It's momentary. Think, well, you know, maybe if I just meditated a little bit and did a little bit of these emptying of my mind exercises, then I'd have a little bit of peace. Maybe. But you know what happens when you stop those exercises? All the stress comes back because you still left it on the shelf. It's still there. You just distracted yourself for long enough to trick yourself into making you feel better. Philippians 4:7, the Apostle Paul says this, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." I'm here to tell you today that what you need is not a trick or a technique to lower your stress in life. You need peace from God. And it surpasses understanding. Peace that surpasses understanding must mean that in the natural, you should have no reason to be at peace. You know what that means? You're going to have to go through troubled times. If you need peace that surpasses understanding, within that statement is a promise that life is going to be difficult because you need peace that doesn't even make sense. Number four, Eastern or worldly meditation focuses on you being in control. It is supposed to be a reminder that you are in the driver's seat of your own life, and that if you could take control of your mind, and that if you could take control of your circumstances, you're going to be the one that can bring prosperity and success. It's all about focusing on you, focusing on yourself, focusing on what you can do. But here's the thing. When you meditate on God's word, you know what you find out? I'm not in the driver's seat. God is. I get to be the passenger who just gets into the car. No, I get in on this side. Hold on, sorry. I get into the passenger seat, and I just say, Jesus, take the wheel. Eastern meditation is about focusing on you, what you can do, and that you're in the driver's seat. No, I got good news. God's in the driver's seat. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're not your plans. They're God's plans. He's driving. He's in control. We ought not focus on ourselves being in control. We ought to focus on God being in control. Remember God's rebuke to Job. Job 38, he said, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Did you know that God was sarcastic? I didn't know that. I thought that that was something from Satan. God is sarcastic. Surely you know. You must know everything because you know why you're having all these problems in your life. No, God's the one who laid the foundation of the earth. God's the one who knows the future that he has in store for you. God's in control, not you or me. Number five, Eastern worldly meditation is escapism. This is what Eastern meditation teaches. By seeking higher levels of consciousness or altered states of consciousness, you can escape your stress and enter new realms of oneness with deity. If someone ever approaches you and says, hey, I've got a way that you can enter an altered state of reality, run away. Run. You don't need an altered state of reality. You need Jesus in your reality. You don't need to escape. This is what escapism is. Escapism is just distracting yourself from whatever it is that's going on in life. Escapism is video games. Anyone in the room like video games? Reading novels, right? There's nothing wrong with that. It's good for relaxation. It's good for fun. But playing that video game or reading that book isn't going to fix your life. You can do it for relaxation. That's fine. I love that my son is finally getting old enough to play video games. It's like, yeah, you mean instead of watching Paw Patrol, you want to play Mario Kart? This is awesome. It's great. It's escapism. It's getting out of your reality and just pretending that it isn't there and numbing yourself, thinking that that will help you. Once again, what's the problem with that? Well, once you're done escaping, where do you come back to? Reality. And life is still messy. See, if you're Daniel and you're about to be thrown into a den of lions, no escapism or distraction is going to change that circumstance. If you're Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about to be thrown into a fiery furnace, no mindfulness exercise is going to save you from the fiery furnace. Yet through biblical meditation, through putting your mind on God and his word and his power and his promises and his provision, you can supernaturally receive intervention that will alter your circumstances or at the very least enable you to walk through them with supernatural strength and grace. Biblical meditation does not give you an escape from reality. It gives you supernatural strength through the Holy Spirit to walk through it. You don't need to escape from your reality. You need Jesus to come into your reality. Meditation on God's word, you'll find in this book messy people with messy lives who trusted Jesus and therefore he carried them through. This is our biblical reality. We do not need to escape reality. We need God's grace to live in our reality. We need supernatural joy when we experience the loss of a loved one. We need supernatural peace to get through tragedy and loss, and we need supernatural miracles to bring healing and deliverance and salvation. That's what we need. And we don't get that by trying to escape. We get there by trying to press into Jesus. Number six, Eastern or worldly meditation manipulates circumstances to bring peace. Eastern meditation teaches that you can enter meditative states through the atmosphere, through objects, through silence, through breathing techniques, through stretching exercises known as yoga, and that through these techniques you can bring peace into your life. So let's talk about yoga. This is a good thing to talk about. We need to be talking about this in the church because yoga is a very trendy thing in our world today. Recent surveys suggest that more than 20 million Americans practice yoga, which makes it one of the most popular forms of exercise. So is yoga just exercise? No. Yoga is a deeply spiritual, deeply religious act that has significant roots in the Hindu religion. It is not just stretching. It is not just exercise. There is zero proven medical benefits to doing yoga. The stretches involve nothing to do with medical science and everything to do with Hindu religion. Yoga is a method of yoking or unifying yourself with a higher power. Each of the yoga poses or positions is an attempt to use your physical body to worship the sun god and to align your spirit with your soul and your body so as to become one with God. And that is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let me give you one example. The lotus position is an exercise used in opening yourself up for the spirit to come in. It is highly sexual. I won't give you the graphic details, but all that I'll say is that it is not just stretching. And Christ followers ought to have nothing to do with yoga. It's gonna be quiet in the church today. I need some water. I got this pulpit so that if you threw things at me, I had a little bit more of a defense. If you want to do stretching, go do Pilates. If you want something that'll medically help you, go see a doctor, get some work done, but please do not participate in anything that uses the name yoga or its technicians or positions. Eastern meditation, beyond just yoga, that's just one small example. It is an attempt to use these techniques to alter your circumstances, and there is but one source of truth that we should go to alter our circumstances, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Now, if you've been involved in yoga, if you've been involved in that, real quick fix. Ready? Repent! And if your heart was pure and you didn't know, then, and even if you did know, if you repent, God will forgive you and move on. So I don't say that to bring guilt and condemnation. I say that to speak the truth. We need to focus on Jesus as our source of peace. Here's the beautiful thing for child of God. We have access to his presence no matter what position we are in or location we are. I had a wonderful devotions teacher when I was a young child in church, and God bless this lady. She's wonderful. I don't know where she is. Maybe she's with Jesus. She seemed like she was 95 when I was a kid, but you know, she might, who knows? But I remember her going on this tangent about how disrespectful it was for, you know, anyone, but she was talking to us boys and girls at the end of the night to pray to God lying down in our beds, that we had to be on our knees, and that it was disrespectful to not be on our knees when we pray to God. And I appreciate her heart, and if you have such a conviction, then you pray away on your knees. But here's the beauty of the gospel. You can talk to Jesus no matter where you are, no matter what position you're in, whether you got clothes on or you're in the shower. You can talk to Jesus. Hebrews 4:16 says this: let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You can confidently approach the presence of God wherever you are, no matter what you've just done, and he's there for you in a time of need. We do not need to manipulate our circumstances in order to find peace. We need the presence of Jesus to bring us peace. And we pray, the great majority of our prayers are this: God, change my circumstances. God, change my circumstances. God, change my circumstances. And God is in the business of changing circumstances, but he is also in the business of giving you the strength to walk through them. I'm not saying you can't pray those prayers, but I am asking that you would also pray these prayers: God, give me strength to go through what I'm walking through. Give me grace to go through what I'm going through. If those are the meditations of your heart, then God will give you grace. He will give you strength as you're going through what you're going through. If every day when you're driving into work, if the thought on your mind is, I really don't want to go to work today. If those are the meditations on your heart, how many of you understand you're not going to have a good day at work? And then you go home and you pray, God, get me a new job. Get me a new job. I don't like my job. I don't like my job. You think you're going to enjoy your job? Absolutely not. But if instead every day on your way into work, you say, God, thank you for today. Thank you for my shift today at work. I thank you that as I go through my day, you're carrying me through with strength and grace. I thank you that I'm going to enjoy myself today. Because God's with me. And if God is with me, who can be against me? If those are the meditations of your heart, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've come to the conclusion that your circumstances don't need to change, your heart does. Listen to what Psalm 119 says about meditation. If you want a place to study on meditation, you just go ahead and pick up the 119th Psalm. Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. 78th verse of Psalm 119, let the insolent or arrogant be put to shame because they have wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Wow, did you hear that? When arrogant people shame you, when ignorant people attack you and put you down, what does David say? What does he do? I'm going to go meditate on the word of God. Why? Because what do we want to do in our flesh? We want to get even. Vengeance is mine, saith Tim, and I will repay. Come on, every action movie that has ever, the big money makers in the theaters, you know what it's based on? Revenge. You kidnap my daughter, I'm going to find you and kill you. Right? It's every Liam Neeson movie that's ever been made. Right? Why? That's what we want to do in the flesh. You come against me, I'm going to come back at you. And it might not be murder, but it might be, I know what I'm going to say next time I see you. I've got something to say to you. You think that was funny when you said that to me? Let's see what I'm going to say back to you. I got a good one for you. We want to get even. So what does David do? David knows something. He says, when arrogant people put me to shame, guess what I got to do? I got to go meditate on the word. Why? So I don't kill them. I'm sorry. This is just how I read the Bible, folks. Because that's what our flesh wants to do. I don't actually secretly want to kill anybody, just in case you're concerned for me. I'm good. But we want to get back. David says this, when people come against you and someone frustrates you and does something to offend you, you know what you need to do? Meditate on the word of God. Because what do you find when you meditate on this book? You'll find a God who so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for you. That while you were yet sinning, Christ died for you. So while other people sin against me, I can love them. And when you meditate on the word, something amazing happens. When something happens that they come in something that would normally have offended you, if you've got the word on the inside of you, you'll be so quick to forgive them, you won't even bother getting offended in the first place. Someone says hurtful words to you and you just say, I love you. How can I bless you? Do you need some money? What can I do for you? When you have the word in you and you know that God loves you, you know how you can love other people. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:44, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Love them and pray for them. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way you're going to do that is if you spend time in this book, because your flesh will not get you there. Meditating on God's word is the only means by which you and I renew our mind. It is the only way for us to change our thinking. Show of hands if you've ever had problems with your thought life. Anybody ever had a thought that they shouldn't have thought? You thought about something that you wanted to do that you shouldn't do. We all need help in our minds. It's called taking every thought captive. And we don't often deal with our thoughts. We try and react once we've had a bad thought. And this is just reality. I'm not saying this to come down on you. This is just reality. Most Christians live our lives by reacting to the bad instead of being proactive towards the good. We wait for bad thoughts, we wait for bad sins, we wait for something to happen that we go, oh, I guess I better deal with this. Being proactive is the much better way to do it. How do you do that? You meditate on God's word day and night. It comes, it's in you all the time, so that before you ever hit the temptation, the word's inside of you to protect you. How do you be proactive? You meditate on God's word day and night. You think, Pastor Tim, let's be real. I got a family. I've got kids. I've got a job. How am I supposed to meditate on God's word day and night? Here's the beauty. You can read your Bible for 60 seconds in the morning. Now, I'm not encouraging you to stop there. I'm giving you an example. You can read the Bible for 60 seconds, and yet you can meditate on that all day and all night long. See, this is why this is a different spiritual discipline than reading the Bible. Meditating on God's word, see, once it's here, you can just hold that there all day long. You can hold that there. You can meditate on Psalm 119, 14 or 15? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God. That could just be the meditation of your heart all day long. That can carry you through your day. It's not about reading your Bible all day long. Christian life is not about reading your Bible 24 hours a day. It's about holding it in your heart 24 hours a day. Listen to this, Psalm 119. Verses 97 to 99, David says this, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commandments are always with me and make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes." You can grow wiser than your enemies and wiser than your teachers by meditating on the word of God. Now let me ask you, who is your primary enemy? Who said mother-in-law? No, that was me. No, I didn't say that about my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. And she goes to this church. And she's not here today. But don't tell her that I said that. Why are mother-in-law jokes so funny? I don't know. It's a good thing I love mine. Okay. Who's your enemy? Who's your greatest enemy? Satan. Some of you are like, I'm not sure anymore. You can become wiser than Satan. How? By meditating on the word of God. Do you think that in a battle between you and Satan, it would be advantageous to be smarter than him? Okay, pop quiz. Does Satan read the Bible? Does Satan go to church? Never misses a Sunday. You better believe it. He studies the enemy. So how do you get wiser than him? You meditate on the word of God day and night. Because the enemy is your primary, Satan's your primary enemy. And where's his primary place of attack? Where does he attack you? In the mind. So here's an example. He comes to you and he pulls the same old tricks. This is how the enemy works. He reminds you about how no good, filthy you are. He reminds you about all the sin in your life. He reminds you about all the times that you've let your spouse time down, all the times that you lost your temper on the kids, all the time. He reminds you about all the bad things that you've ever done. And all the weight of that can just crush a person. No matter how much you love Jesus, that can crush you when you just focus on your sin. But if you've been meditating on the word of God, once the attack comes, you become smarter than him. Because all the while he's saying how no good you are and how nobody loves you and how God can't forgive you. If you've got the word of God in your heart in abundance, you start letting that come out. And you remind yourself that if I sin, and I confess my sin to my Father, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And hey, there's more with me than there are against me. Hey, God is on my side. Whom shall I fear? What shall man do to me? See, if you have the word of God that you've been meditating on in your heart, in abundance, when the enemy comes, you're smarter than him. Because you can just say, liar, liar. He says, God will never forgive you. Liar, I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. When that is the meditation of your heart, listen, this is more than mental assent. You say, well, I already know that, but I still struggle. Meditate on your heart. Let it become so real to you on the inside that it consumes your thinking. Greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. With long life, he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. Oh, here's a good one to meditate on. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. When Satan reminds you how sinful you've been and how nasty you've been, you say, I just got more grace. I was a big sinner, and now I got big grace in my life. I'm more than a conqueror. All things are possible to those who believe. And when we begin to spend more time meditating on God's word than CNN and our Facebook feed, I believe things will change. Because we'll become smarter than our enemy. What does meditation look like? It is more than reading the Bible, and it is more than memorizing the Bible. And if you want to memorize scripture, you can go ahead and do it. That'll be helpful to you. But meditation is deeper than memorization. When you memorize a Bible verse, you just remember the order of the words. Anybody can do that. You can use tips and tricks to memorize. Meditation is like eating and digesting the words and allowing them to come alive in your spirit. Meditation is taking it could be one statement, it could be half of a sentence, and letting it roam around in the forefront of your mind. Let me give you an example. John 15:7, Jesus said this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." Now you can read that verse, you can read it in the morning before you start your day, you can memorize it. "If you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it shall be done for you." You can memorize it. And you can think, well, it's a pretty simple concept. Jesus says that I can ask him for whatever I wish, and he's going to do it. And you can get excited about that until you ask for something that you wish, and you don't get it. Anybody ever had that before? And then what happens? See, if you haven't meditated on that, you know what happens? You get offended at Jesus. And you think, what are you thinking here? You promised me this. And you go back and you open your Bible to John 15:7, and you scratch it out. Well, that's not true, because I asked for something and it didn't come to pass. What we need to do is meditate on it and go back and think, wow, God, what does it mean for me to abide in you? What does it mean for your words to abide in me? God, help me to allow your words to abide in me. What does that look like today, God? Help me today to allow your word to abide in me. That's meditation. You're pondering it. You're considering it. You're digesting it in your heart and in your mind. See, meditation doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. Here's the best way I can think to express what meditation is. Allowing the word of God to wander around in the forefront of your thinking. You're allowing the word of God to just wander around. You read a verse, you're thinking about a verse, you're thinking, God, what does that mean? How can I live that out today? You're letting it wander around in the forefront of your thinking. And the more that we become a people who meditate on God's word and focus on the word, then here's what's going to happen. Here's the promise. You're going to get smarter than the enemy. So that when Satan comes knocking at the door, you can open the door and punch him in the face. Because you know his attacks, you know his schemes, he's going to come and lie to you. Every time he's going to lie to you, if he comes and tells you how no good filthy you are, you know what that means? You're wonderful and lovely. Because he's a liar and the author of it. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet and let me pray over you today. Heavenly Father, we worship and praise you. And we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you that your word is our source of life. We thank you that your word is our source of truth, God. And we believe nothing else outside of the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that as we place our mind on it, as we meditate upon your word, that it will come alive to us, God. And I pray, Lord, that you would allow those words that you give us to carry us through our days and weeks ahead, God. I thank you that for every person that is in this room, Lord God, you have a word for them. You have a scripture. You have a psalm. You have a song for them to hold on to carry them through. Lord, I pray today that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing in your sight, oh God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to ask.